Welcome back. Well, in some neighborhoods, it's still Halloween. And what better way to get in the spirit of things than to spend some time with Edgar Allan Poe? Who can forget Poe's Telltale Heart, in which a murderer tries to cover up his crime by dismembering the body and hiding it under the floorboards, but the heart keeps beating.
Hark! Louder! 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 Villains! I shrieked. Dissemble no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks. Here, here, it is the beating of his hideous heart.
The Telltale Heart, read by none other than Edgar Allan Poe, who amazingly is here in the studio with us, even though he's been dead since 1849. Mr. Poe, what a shocking surprise. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back here
back on Earth, I suppose so. Well, in hearing your reading of Telltale Heart, I'm reminded of The Cask of Amontillado, in which someone is killed and then walled up, buried alive, and the killer has no remorse. What is up with the killing and the burying that you're so into?
Well, death is a frequent theme in much of my writing, but you must understand that it was a frequent theme in many people's writings at the time. Often I would argue that the murder or the killing itself is less relevant in the story than the psychology of the murderer or the narrator in many cases. What is so fascinating about The Cask of Amontillado, if you're a reader, is I dare you to find the actual cause of this revenge that Montresor takes out upon Fortunato.
That's right. Montresor lures Fortunato to this wine cellar, and he's going to kill him, and we don't know why.
And I leave that ambiguous quite on purpose.
Ah, but can you give us a little, can we now know why he lured him to the wine cellar?
Well, I can leave the readers to determine what may be in that story.
You're not going
to
give that away. Let's remind people of your story. You were born in Boston, but very sad. Your parents, traveling actors, died when you were quite young. You were taken to live with foster parents, a wealthy tobacco merchant in Richmond, Virginia, and things just went downhill. You became estranged from your parents, angry at them. They sent you to college with no money, not very nice. You were then thrown out of West Point. Your mother and child bride both die of tuberculosis. How do you think this shaped you?
Well, certainly there was much tragedy in my life. And certainly you may see some of that reflected in my writing. To be clear, the Allen family were merely my foster family.
Right.
They did not adopt me formally. Therefore, I really was an orphan my whole life.
Yeah.
Certainly, the Allen family could have put me on a very different path. They were extremely wealthy. Mm. I think that Mr. Allen did not approve of my wishes to focus on literature at a time when really the country was very young and therefore so was its literature. There really was very little precedent for successful authorship in the United States.
Yeah. Well, and still you persevered and became a household name in 1845 for The Raven, that very, if you don't mind, creepy poem about a talking bird's visit to a young scholar who's lost his love, Lenore. By the way, can you quote The Raven?
Nevermore.
Okay. The bird keeps rapping at the man's chamber door and saying nevermore and drives him mad. What was that all about?
Well, in writing The Raven, which did make me a household name very quickly, I tried to find a way to strike an emotional chord in readers. And that's when I came to the idea not only of death, but the death of a beautiful woman. Made further poetical by being spoken or seen through the eyes of a bereaved lover. The poem is really about a mournful and never-ending remembrance, a struggle for the narrator both to forget the cause of so much sorrow and yet to remember the cause of so much love in his life.
Well, you yourself didn't live much longer after The Raven, only 4 years. Died at 40, very young yourself. And what happened there? Because the story is you were on your way to Philadelphia, but you stopped in Baltimore, and you disappeared for 5 days. You're off the map. And then you were found in a bar that had been converted into a, was being used as a polling place. It was an election season. But, you know, were you drinking? I mean, what happened?
Well, bear in mind that when I was revived back in 2012, I lost some of my memories. But I can tell you that I am lost from historical record as of September 27th of 1849. I was supposed to be on the way to Philadelphia. Baltimore was not a planned stop. But I was found in Baltimore in a tavern on Election Day, October 3rd of 1849. 4 days later at the hospital, I died, never coherent long enough to explain my situation. The theories as to what happened are numerous today. The doctor that attended me swore that I was not under the influence of alcohol. In fact, although I did have a problem drinking, I did take a vow of temperance and vowed to stay sober before my death.
Yeah, but it sounds like, well, I could have gone off the rails a little bit. I'm just saying, because you were found in a bar. So
I was found in a polling place on election day that also happened to be a tavern. A fairly common congruence in those days.
Okay. But while we're on the subject of your death, every year on your birthday, for decades, someone left a rose on your grave. And then that recently stopped.
Yes, that's correct.
What up?
It stopped in 2009, which was my 200th birthday. Although we don't know who did it, I can tell you this, my spirit greatly appreciates the tribute he's left for me for those 60 years.
All those toasts.
One gentleman did come forward to suggest that he was the Poe toaster, but his story doesn't check out.
Ah, all right. Well, another mystery there. You know, we'd love to hear a little more of your reading. How about one of your last published poems, A Dream Within a Dream?
Certainly. This poem was published in Boston towards the end of my life. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep while I weep, while I weep. Oh God, can I not grasp them with a tighter grasp? Can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream?
Wow. You did that from memory, which wouldn't be that incredible if you actually were Edgar Allan Poe, who would know his own poem. But it is pretty cool because you are actually mild-mannered literary historian Rob Villela.
So, yes, obviously I'm not really Edgar Allan Poe.
No, get out of town.
My real name is Rob, and I call myself a literary historian. So I find numerous ways to try to bring classical authors of the past to readers of today. I do it in a number of ways. I give tours at Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's house in Cambridge, and more recently I've started playing dress-up. I put on this costume and pretend that I'm these dead people that I admire so much.
We should say you're in a nice suit with wide black satin lapels and a sort of...
We call it a cravat.
A cravat, yes, I knew that, around your neck. But what is it about Poe that pulls you?
Well, Poe just appeals to me so much because there's so much in his writing. He leaves a lot of ambiguity for the reader so we can determine on our own readings of these works. He's also so focused on sound. The words that he chooses are very specifically chosen to emit emotions or just to feel a certain way. He's deeply psychological in his writings. And I think in the end, the best part of all of this is he's a canonical writer that's respected by academics and professors everywhere, but he's still a really cool writer for just the average Joe to be reading.
Yeah. Well, can you call up a little of Edgar Allan Poe as we say goodbye, maybe a couple lines from the appropriate for Halloween?
And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on that pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul, from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore.
Rob Villela, literary historian and reenactor, Edgar Allan Poe, a specialty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, he had me going there. Didn't he have you going there? Thought it was him. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.